Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And welcome to episode 161 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. This is Ashland Dave. I'm your ordinary, nobody, middle of the pack runner and podcast host. It is the week of August 17, 2012. I'd like to thank you along for coming along. Thank you for coming along for downloading the show. It's been a couple weeks since the last show. Just been real busy with training and other activities. And one of the biggest things that happened in the Center of the Universe this past week was Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan coming to Ashland for a rally, a political rally. Now, regardless of which way your politics roll, it is not often that we have someone that the whole world knows in our town. Last year, or last time around, I guess the last 4 years ago, it was Sarah Palin made an appearance at Homemade's by Suzanne here in the Center of the Universe. And I think that the lady who owns that business gives some money to political campaigns. And then, of course, this year was Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Now, that was last Saturday. And I will admit that my daughter and I rode our bikes up there to People Watch. And we kind of stayed out of the action. We certainly didn't have a lunch appointment with Mitt Romney. We didn't RSVP to the luncheon or the rally or anything because we had plans to go down to the James River that afternoon. But nevertheless, it was kind of a big deal. And whenever you have like I said, somebody that the whole world is familiar with, just about the whole world, in your small town of 7,000 people, and you live within, cycling or walking distance of where this person's going to be, it's neat to go up there. So we rode up there, but unfortunately he was late and we had to go. But I did see several people that I knew, and there was protesters up there, people with signs and people chanting four more years and this and that. And anyway, the whole thing was kind of interesting, to say the least. So, yeah, here we are, Center of the Universe, Ashland, Virginia, and center of politics, at least for the Ashland was the second stop after Mitt Romney announced his vice presidential the person he picked to be his running mate, Paul Ryan. So I thought that was kind of neat. And being that Ashland, at least from my perspective, it kind of is a very liberal town. The county itself is mainly Republican. So it was just an interesting experience all around to see who was up there and who was interested and who wasn't. So that was last weekend. That was kind of exciting. All right, this podcast is going to be mostly satire, so I just want to throw that out there before I get started. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Olympics, and then I'll talk a little bit about my training. And then I got a funny email from Lummox, who's training for his first marathon, and I'll get to that. Well, let me talk about that now. I was just checking some emails before I started the show, and he was telling me that he's got this party Friday night that he's got to go to, and then he's got to do a 14-miler on Saturday, and then he's got to do a lot of construction work later for something that he and his wife are putting together. And he was asking for my advice on what to do. And I said, well, this ain't no sipping tea. You go in early Friday, and you get up and do your 14-miler on Saturday. I mean, that's just what you do when you start training for a marathon. You got to make some of these sacrifices. And I told him that he wouldn't be hungover anymore after the first hour anyway. I've always said that if you stay out late drinking and, going to a party and someone's got to drive you home and you got a big training run the next day, usually a good 6-miler will cure you of your hangover. And that'll the hangover will be the least of your problems after that first hour on the run. But anyway, I'm going to talk a little about the Olympics. I gotta say that we did watch the synchronized. We watched a lot of the events. My daughter seemed to like the synchronized diving, and I know the Olympics are long over, but I made a lot of these notes while I was watching the show. We were watching the synchronized diving, and let's just say I don't watch the men synchronized diving. I watch the women, and the swimsuits are getting really high on these ladies' hips, and I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong, but I've noticed that they're just seem to get really, really high. And I'm pretty convinced that in 20 years, they'll be wearing thongs out there. I've just, why stop now? Okay, All right, topic number two. How about, this is not really going to be satirical. How about, I can't even read my writing, 400 meters. How about Oscar Pistorius? Oh, the runner, I think, from from Jamaica that won, James, I can't remember his first name, but he went up to Pistorius after, I think it was the quarterfinal or semifinal of the 400 meters, and they exchanged bibs, and apparently this was the first time ever in the Olympics that this happened, is what the commentator said. And I got a couple things to say about that. One, I thought it was ultra cool that Oscar Pistorius qualified for Olympics just, you know, with his cheetahs. I think you can argue both ways about whether they give advantage or not. I think eventually the technology is going to be to a point on these cheetahs that, or on prosthetic legs, that it probably will give an advantage because someone can run faster because they're lighter. I don't know. It's debatable. I personally think there should be a whole separate Olympics for, you know, the dopers, the drug addicts, or the people that use steroids. I think they should have their own Olympics, and it should be on pay-per-view. And because people will buy it, just like people buy the Ultimate Fighting on pay-per-view, they'll buy, you know, people that are roided in the Olympics. And I think the people who use steroids and go, you know, totally overboard with steroids, you know, cause they could probably only peak for a couple weeks for the Olympics. I think that they should have, you know, that'd be cool to watch people, on steroids that are, you know, diving or doing Olympic or, gymnastics or any of the events. Just going all out, and, you know, if you get hurt or you break your leg or something, you know, you're out. I think it'd be interesting, and I would pay for that to watch the steroid Olympics. Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool that the sprinter James went up to Oscar Pistorius and wanted to exchange bibs with him. And I don't know if that was – and you look at this from a couple of different perspectives. One is that James was being selfish, and – what he wanted was a souvenir from the race, and you know, because we might not see that again. Second would be that he had so much respect for Oscar Pistorius that he wanted to take a piece of that back with him and give him his own. I think James is the one that won the race. Another aspect you could think about is, if I was Oscar Pistorius, wouldn't I want that bib that I wore in the Olympics if I never make it again? And because I like to save stuff like that. But I guess what he could do is frame the one he got from James, or keep that as a keepsake, knowing that how much honor this guy bestowed on him by wanting his bib. Anyway, regardless of how you look at it, I thought it was a pretty cool thing that he did. And I just remember the commentator made a comment about how that's never been done before. And that was the first time that's ever happened. I have not done any independent research on that to see if that's the case or not. I'm just not sure. All right, before I get back to the Olympics, let me mention something about bowling. I went bowling with my family for my daughter's birthday, and I had only been bowling a few times as an adult, and I'm not knocking it, but let's just say that a lot of very interesting people show up to go bowling on Friday evenings early. It was wasn't really like a People of Walmart type of situation, but it was kind of like People of Walmart situation, if that makes any sense. All right, let me talk a little bit about Lashinda Demus, sprinter, and I wish I'd made some. Okay, she was a hurdler, 400 meter hurdler. She made a couple quotes that I thought were pretty cool. She, I think, was a sprinter, then she went out with children and then came back, and I remember writing down this quote, quote, "I'm running for the legacy," unquote. I think that's of her sons, and for Bill, I think she ended up taking the gold. Oh no, she didn't get the gold. I think she got the silver or the bronze. And another one of her quotes was that, "I will not stop until I get the gold medal," unquote. And so let's see about that. You know, I mean, that's, to hear somebody say that, I think is pretty cool. I don't think she endorses anything. I don't know. I don't seem to watch the channels where these sprinters are endorsing anything. I'm not sure if I'm missing those shows or they're endorsing products and magazines I don't look at or whatever. And I think I got some notes in here about Lolo Jones. I'm not sure. I'm looking through here. I don't see them. But let me talk about her for a little bit. You know, sweetheart, we don't need to know if you're having sex or not. We really don't need to know that. So, you know, keep that. Unless you got some kind of foundation for abstinence, which I'm not sure if you do or not, but I don't know why that needs to come up in your platform for running. Hopefully I'm not offending anybody by saying that, but you know, I really don't need to know if a sprinter is a virgin or not, because it doesn't really matter to me. You know, generally speaking, you think someone who's an adult, they're probably sexually active. If they're not, it's not really my business. And you know, but if she's going to make mention of it, then, you know, people are going to then, and if you're a public figure, then people are definitely going to, you know, dive into you on that one. I don't know what she endorses. She didn't get a medal or anything, but she's still a hell of a sprinter. But let's talk about soccer for a minute. And I know I'm kind of jumping around, but that's just kind of the way the podcast is. The best soccer, I followed the women's soccer all the way through, and it was real exciting. I like the women's national team. I follow the men's national team. Soccer is pretty much my favorite sport. Unfortunately, I don't play it anymore, but I watch as much as I can. And the best soccer game I think I've ever seen in recent memory was the United States versus Canada on August 6th. Just incredible. It was 4-2 U.S. What a great game. Very exciting. I was on the edge of my seat. It was definitely not a relaxing game to watch. Of course, that was the semifinal match, and there was a goal in the 122nd minute. I think it was Alex Morgan. Just incredible. And so U.S. went on to the final, obviously, and played Japan and won, which kind of was a little bit of a rematch of the World Cup from 2 years ago in the Women's World Cup. I guess it was 2 years ago. Or was it last year? I think it was last year. Because the Men's World Cup was 2 years ago. All right, anybody see the Russian high jumper? I mean, this was funny. This guy lost his singlet. And they showed a clip of him trying to find his singlet. And then they show him jumping. And then they show him at his duffel bag trying to find his singlet. And I think one of the officials came over to him and told him he had a minute to go. So he grabbed a T-shirt and put his number on that or something, and then they showed him jumping again, and he was wearing somebody else's singlet. So, you know, I don't know why you would take your singlet off while you're doing the high jump, because there's just a matter of minutes between jumps, I would imagine. But, you know, he took his singlet off and lost it. Just kind of funny. How about Galen Roop in the 10,000 meters silver medal? It was a hell of a race if you happen to see it. I can't read my name. Farah, I think, is the one that he was a British runner. He got the gold medal. He's the first British runner that earned a win. I can't even to win this event. And I can't even read my own writing. I'm sorry, listeners. Anyway, Galen and Mo are training partners, and both are coached by Alberto Salazar, and he was there in the crowd, which was pretty exciting. I don't know if you saw that. If you're able to get the on-demand with we have what we call – Comcast over here, Xfinity or something. I don't know if it's called that way in different parts of the country. About halfway through the Olympics, I realized that we could get some of the events on demand. So that's when I started going back and watching some of these specialized events that I wanted to watch. And so I would encourage you, if you have that, if you have not seen the 10,000 meter final, or I guess it's the only race. I'm not even sure if there were semifinals for that. Hell of a race, man, right at the end. It was really incredible. And, of course, that's, you know, I think they run it in, you know, well under 30 minutes. It's just incredible. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the volleyball, beach volleyball. Again, with the skimpy swimsuits, they're barely wearing anything. And, again, I'm not complaining, but I really believe that come less than 20 years from now, a couple more Olympics, the beach volleyball and probably these the synchronized divers and the regular divers, they probably are going to be wearing next to nothing because the swimsuits. Why would the swimsuits stop now getting skimpier? If you look back in history, the way they started, I mean, why would it stop now? There's just no reason for it to stop. So you know, I think we'll probably see that. And one thing that I think is incredible is how the people can play in volleyball in the sand. It's just remarkable. I just really think it is. And how can we forget Japan's female goalkeeper in soccer, whose last name is F-U-K U-M-O-T-O. Fukumoto is how they were pronouncing it on TV. And I just thought that was funny because that is very, very close to the profane, which, of course, we don't use any profanity in this podcast. However, pretty incredible that is the person's last name and through no fault of her own. 80,203 attended the women's soccer final gold medal match, and the old record was 76,000 in Athens, Georgia. And if you're a soccer fan and you have not checked out women's soccer, women's national team, you got to check out their next game. Incredible skill level. I think that Alex Morgan and Gabby Wambach might be some of the best players I've ever seen play. I mean, it's just incredible the way the ball just stays. Well, for Abby Wambach, the ball stays on her head. It's just incredible. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about my training. I know all that Olympic stuff was really exciting. Let's see, did 12 miles last weekend, 11 the weekend before that, and I'm up to, I think this weekend will be 26 for the week. It's getting there. Well, on to Baltimore for October 13th is the big day. Of course, they have the relay leading up to that late September. And, of course, Patrick Green Half Marathon coming up on August 25th. Not really looking at that as much as anything. It's just a day to figure out how to get through the humidity. And as a matter of fact, I have almost made a decision that day I'm going to just run with Ashlyn Bob and a new runner in town, Kev, Coach, we call him Coach Kevin, or just Coach, because he's a softball coach over at Randolph-Macon College. He is running his first half marathon, and not that he really needs any help getting through it. I just think it might be cool just to be there when he crosses the finish line, because that is a huge feat for him, and it's going to be plenty humid and hot, and I just want to kind of see how he does. So that those are the big things coming up, and then, of course, the Richmond Anthem or whatever they're calling it. It changed sponsors. The Richmond Marathon on, I think it's November 10th with the new finish line and beer at the finish, which is really the best decision that the organizers of this race made. Not that I'm a beer fan. Of course I am, but I just think it's great because people will stick around. Generally speaking, the Richmond Marathon is kind of one of these things where you finish, you find your family, and you leave because there's really nowhere to hang out. It finishes down amongst skyscrapers, and there's just nowhere to go, really. There's just nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. So this will change that. It's going to finish down by the James River, and I can't say enough about how much I'm looking forward to it. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for good weather and all that. All right, well, we've been dealing with a lot of humidity here in the center of the universe in Central Virginia. And frankly, I'm right tired of it. It's, you know, every running day is a double shower day, you know, just soaking wet clothes. I'm gonna have to buy new shoes just for the simple fact that they stink so bad. I do have these things that I've been using for a couple years called Stuff-Its, and they do save your shoes, but I think they've expired. They're kind of nylon bags of cedar chips that kind of look like feet, and you stick them down in your shoes, and they do save your shoes. And I've used them for a long time. I think they just they probably don't even do anything for my shoes anymore, but they do tend to soak up the moisture. But I think I got them for free some years back when I had a podcast about stinky shoes or something like that. And I think that company has these bots that go out and scrape the internet for anything mentioning stinky shoes, and then they investigated it. And then the lady, they investigate it and see what the mention is, and if it's on people's blogs or whatever, then they respond and market their product. And what the lady, I can't remember the lady's name, but what she did, she contacted me by email and asked me if I would try the product, and if I liked it, would I talk about it on the podcast? And of course I said, yeah, I mean, I'll try anything once, twice if I like it, except for jumping out of a plane. And I won't even do that once, you know. And so I got the Stuff-Its, and I did like them, and I've talked about them several times, but I haven't bought them yet. So I think I'm going to have to do that, because what I've said before is that I've usually had to get rid of shoes, not because of the mileage, but just because they just hold an odor because my feet perspire so much. So let's talk about last Saturday's run, which was a 12-miler, which was essentially the Patrick Henry half course minus a mile. We ran that with the group I was with, and it was so humid. First of all, the group I was with, some of them were making fun of how much I was sweating, or at least one guy was. And then my shoe was starting to sponge the moisture out, the water out. And, the insert I could feel was just sponging, and it was shooting the moisture was coming up out of the top of the shoe. And I remember that happened during that race a couple of years ago where it was foaming out the top because it was just so much sweat and moisture and what have you. So, you know, you never really air out those shoes. You can't really set them out in the sun. I guess the manufacturers tell you don't do that. I've set my shoes out in the sun just so they dry out. I don't put them in the dryer. I don't do anything like that. I just let them air dry. But they never really air dry enough for the next run. And I rotate two pairs out, and they both really just had it. I guess they're both at about 350 miles. I keep track of it on Runner's World. That's pretty much it. I'm feeling good. I finished a 6-miler this evening, and, you know, it was pretty easy. It's hot out, but I got through it pretty good. I took my dog for about 4 miles of it, dropped him off at the house, and then finished up. And I felt pretty good. So, I'm getting out there. I'm putting the miles down and enjoying it, and really looking forward to doing these races this fall. All right, well, we got a lot of emails in the email bag. So let's go to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, some of these have been a little bit of time since I got them, so I'm going to scan through them. And I always know that whenever I've sent an email into a podcast, which I still send them into, I guess, Dirt Dog from time to time. I like it when they read them. I think that's pretty cool. So anyway, got one from Mechanicsville Dave. This is David Williams in the U.S. So there's also David Williams of Flinders Island. And this is the same David who offered me his bib last year for the Richmond Marathon and also let me keep the shirt. Anyway, he said he just listened to the latest podcast, heard about the Colonial 200, and he wanted to know if he could volunteer at this. The team still needs a couple of referrals. He's going to be tapering for the Outer Banks Marathon. He has no problem waking up in the middle of the night because he does it all the time as a member of the rescue squad, and he's a life member at Ash Cake Rescue. Dave, what I'm going to do is email our team has got the two volunteers that we're obligated to get. And what I'll do is I will forward your email to our team captain, who is coordinating that. I have to admit that I am not a part of that. So I will definitely send you that information. So just stand by, and I will do that as soon as I'm finished with the show. Heard from Sandy. Sandy's got a 100-miler coming up first weekend in September. And she said her training's been going well. It's been really hot up there this year. I think Dirt Dog is going to pace her, and it's called the Hallucination 100, and I do believe it is the first. Here it is. Race day is September 7th, starts at 4 p.m. She put in 60 miles last week, and she did a 40-mile training run on a Thursday. That's incredible. That was incredible. She said it was out there hot that day. She's getting her pacers lined up. She's got another guy named Dave that paced her last year. He's going to do three loops with her, or do loops three and four with her. She has to do the first two alone. And then Dirt Dog is going to do loops five and six. And the whole race is 16.6-ish mile loops. And I guess that comes out to 100. And that's pretty incredible, Sandy. It really is. Sandy works at the Hanson's Running Shop in Michigan. And she gets to talk running all day of people that really want to hear about it. And the best part is helping people that are new to running. It's helping them picking their shoes out. They have tons of questions. And she says that she gets thanked way more in this job than she did in her last job. And I happen to know what she did for her last job. And so, Sandy, I know what you mean. I know what you mean on that. She said one of the store runners went to the Olympics for the marathon, and that was Davila, who's one of the marathoners. Unfortunately, I think she had to pull out after just a couple miles. She was part of the Hanson Brooks Olympic Distance Project, and they were sad that she did go into the race with an injury, and she'd been dealing with that for a while. But at least she got to start the race, and so she's definitely an Olympian. She's an amazing young runner, and Sandy went on to write that she's glad that she didn't push it too hard, and... She said, she had sent me a sticker, and that's why I had emailed her, and it said 26.2 times 20. And I know that's kind of an arrogant thing to put on your car, but, that's cool. Sandy sent it to me. I put it on the car, and only one person's made a comment about it, and they said, what does that mean? I said, well, I've run 20 marathons, and I'm getting ready to run 21 and 22 later this year. And they just always have a weird look on their face, and we did not want to start the email music yet. Sorry about that. All right, a little technical difficulty there, which happens sometimes. Sandy says she always laughs at the end of the podcast when I say don't forget to hug your kids, and she doesn't have any children, so she hugs her dog, which I think is pretty cool. So, Sandy, I will try to respond to your email soon. I appreciate all the information as usual, and good luck with your Hallucination 100. I think you're going to do great. You got some good people to pace you. Dirt Dog's been there before. So well done on that, and good luck. I heard from David Williams out of Flinders Island. He said he just caught up with all the podcasts, and he was very delighted that I mentioned the pub-to-pub upcoming race for him. He said that he was distressed to hear that I wasn't aware of what a wallaby is, and apart from being the name of one of the national rugby teams down there, he says it's very much like a kangaroo, only smaller, and they make less of a bump as you go over them at night. He said that at night they get dazzled by car lights going the wrong direction, and they can create quite a dent to your car if you run into them. So the seagull that he saw was with one of its talons was more than welcome to eat it off of the off the road. He said he's getting a little weary in body and soul. His runs are going okay, but he's kind of gotten to that stage. He said he has moved the September 50K. That's been moved. It's been moved to a bad date. It's a bad date for him, so he has to find another. And he said that was going to be August 12th, which is past. So this email's a little bit old. So anyway, he's doing okay. He said by next week he should be able to. Should be much better. He said it's he's doing, the one he's picked is in Melbourne, which is about an hour's flight away where his daughter lives, and that should make it more interesting. And he also said that I asked about the number of people on Flinders Island, which is in the roaring 40s, which I'm not between Tasmania and the mainland Australia. He said that I'm not sure what he means, which is in the roaring 40s, but he says our numbers sadly decreasing now, less than 800. Which is in line with many smaller communities across the Australian countryside. He said everybody wants to live in cities, it seems, near shopping centers. And he says for the past 7 years, he's been on the small council, being deputy mayor at the moment. And he said it takes up a lot of time, but he works hard to improve things in the community to make sure the future is going to be the best we can make it. And you know, David, I really admire that. That's really cool. That is really cool. No doubt about that. All right, so let's heard from Chris over at the Running After Daylight blog, and he said he hadn't put anything on the blog in a while. I was giving him the business about that. He said that he's got to stop listening to the show while running at night because it's proven to be dangerous. And he said it was about the Bloody Nips dumbass comment on the recent episode, nearly sent him off in the woods laughing. And I can't even remember what show that was on, but. Yeah, you got to take care of your nipples, and men do, and women usually have it taken care of because they already have something on that's, I guess, they're running bra, take care of the no rub. But last Saturday, we had a bleeder in our group, and hopefully he paid for it in the shower. I'm pretty sure he probably did. But anyway, he did update the blog, so I'll have to check that out. Good to hear from you. Chris, Chris is from the Pine Mountain area of Georgia. I also heard from Christina out of Australia, and she said, in reference to, this is an older episode she was commenting on about recommending another podcast, she says that she recommends the Stuff You Missed in History Class podcast and one called The Moth. I'm familiar with the Stuff You Missed in History Class, Christina. I do download that and listen to that, and if you have not listened to that, it's really good. It covers a wide range of topics, and I'm talking about other listeners. It covers a wide range of topics, including the occasional Civil War time period, which I've always thought was cool. And then the Moth podcast are real stories told live. Sometimes they're funny, serious, or just plain good stories. And my wife listens to that podcast. So thank you, Christina, so much for putting that in there. And that's going to be my response to your email. Sorry about that. But I really do appreciate you sending that in. I heard from Sandy with the sticker. Phil Men, Foolish Phil. Let's see. He's been listening to us. I'm not sure if I sent him the CD of the old podcast or not, but on July 14th, he ran Grandfather Mountain in Boone, North Carolina. And last Saturday, he ran the Looney's Midnight Marathon. And I am not sure. I think I might have already read this email. But he said, this was the one where he said I could probably set up a marathon in Ashland just because there was no traffic tied up, and I had exchanged an email with him on that. He did give me his address. So, Phil, I need to ask you, I do not think I have sent you the DVD. So, I will go ahead and I've got your address right here. I know you sent me that email July 29th. I've said this before, I get confused and all kinds of confused with the way I do these emails on Google. with the podcast, and yours was unintentionally set aside with the address. I need to put those in a special bin. The DVD is, in case anybody listening is not familiar with the DVD is of the Graveyard 100, and the reason I made a DVD of that is not only to have a souvenir from the race with me finishing my first and perhaps only 100K, but also for any, it was an inaugural race, and that way if anybody is interested in seeing what the, some of the layout was, just to kind of get an idea of what it looked like during daylight hours, because this is on a barrier island, point to point, road ultra. I am offering the DVD for free. I'll send it to you on my dime. All you gotta do is send me your address at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And then what I do is I just put a little flyer in there with an address of a charity if you feel like making a donation to Ashland Christian Emergency Services. And just to go off on a little tangent on that, about 2 weeks ago, Ashland ACES is the acronym for Ashland Christian Emergency Services. They ran out of food in their food bank. We do have a population of needy in this area, and they ran out of food in the food bank. And so several organizations, including where I work, set up a food drive to restock their food bank as much as possible. So I asked for the $10 donation. You don't have to do it. I'll send you the DVD anyway, just if you want to know about the race. And but that's just kind of what I do. And over the years of doing some of the DVDs from the ultras that I've done, when the DVD has turned out to be somewhat decent, I'm talking about a 30-minute show, you know, movie. If it's a decent product, you know, it's amateur, then I offer it to the listeners if you want to get it, and you know, you just play it in your DVD player, and I've got the software where I make it, and I do the video clips while I'm out there and whatnot. And I think at this point in time, I have probably raised probably close to $500 for ACES. I don't keep track of it, but I know I've sent out at least 50 DVDs over the years of the different ultras I've done whenever I put it out there. And sometimes I do not always mention the requests I get for the DVD if somebody puts it in the email that they don't want their email mentioned on the podcast, but they want the DVD. I honor that, and so I don't mention that. So if you've been a faithful listener to the show and you think, well, I don't think I've heard he's said that he sent out 50 DVDs, that's because I don't always mention all of them. So, Phil, I'm going to keep your email, and I'm going to put that DVD in the mail to you as soon as I can. As soon as possible. So I really appreciate it. Heard from Jared, and Jared wanted the DVD. He's out of Utah. Got that in the mail to him. And I did burn some of the old shows and put them on a CD. And I never heard back from Jared. So, Jared, I hope you... I'm going to email you right now. Did you get the discs? And that way he will let me know that he got the discs. If not, I guess I'll have to send them again to him. But anyway, thanks for listening to the show. Really appreciate that. And of course, okay, I got another email from Phil. So yeah, he definitely needs the DVD, and he wants me to send him some of the shows 1 through 100. I think I should be able to do that, Phil. Give me a week to do that. I'm sorry, man. I hate to keep you waiting, but I just need a little bit more time to work on that. So that's pretty much the podcast for this week. I really do appreciate you downloading the show and listening. You know, just getting back into the training. What did I do? I've been using S-caps for the heat, and I think that really has helped. And if you've never looked into those, it's S! Exclamation mark C-A-P-S. Look those up and read about them and learn about them and see if it's something you want to try before you do it. I've used them, and I think it really helps with some of the sodium and potassium that you lose during these runs where it's just a sweat fest. I mean, it seems like every run I do is a sweat fest. And it's funny, last weekend when I was out on this group run, some of the conversation, and keep in mind, these group runs go by so fast. And there's lots of conversation, and in this particular one, you know, the discussion came up about, you know, what's the point in training through the summer where all you do is sweat. And, you know, I was asking myself, yeah, what is the point of doing that? I really don't know what the point is. You know, it's fun to run a fall marathon, but I wish you could train for it in a month. I wish you didn't have to, you know, do these grueling miles. And I was supposed to take this summer off after doing the 100K in March, but Lummox wanted to do Baltimore, and I signed on for that with him. And so here we are. I was kind of hoping he would choose a spring marathon, but he chose a fall one. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it is tough to get through these miles. Now, while I was recording the show, I heard the phone vibrating on the counter, so I had to press pause on the show. I went and answered the phone, and Lomax was saying he was just getting ready to go do a 6 miler. So he is sticking to the miles, his first marathon. I'm not really sure if we're going to podcast from the course or what. Probably will get some audio clips before the race, and the reason being is because I always like to hear from folks that are getting ready to run their first marathon, because once they cross that finish line, their life's really never going to be the same again, because they have completed this awesome feat. I mean, the marathon is the major mark of distance running in my book, and for most people, because most people just can't even fathom, you know, doing it. So that's what I think, and that's where I'm at for this week, week of August 17th, 2012. So that's, like I said, that's the podcast for this week. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. I will be back in probably 2 weeks with a new show, and hopefully with some new material. I think maybe this show was a little lame this week, but sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes it's hard to find the material, and if I just keep talking about running in the humidity, that just sounds like a broken record, because that's just what I'm constantly doing. Just this humidity is just driving me crazy, and I'm not even sure if I'm hydrating enough afterwards or not. You know, if I'm not even sure if I'm getting enough water in me or not afterwards. I feel like I am, but sometimes it makes you wonder if, you know, what you should be doing. Usually I try to get all my running done in by 6 o'clock, so then I can get cleaned up and we can eat dinner as a family. Sometimes that's 6:30, and I'm still, you know, even after I take a shower, I'm still sweating and hot, even if I stand under a ceiling fan. And you know, even though we have the house, you know, air conditioner cut down, it's just so hard to get the body. I don't know how people run during their lunch hour outside and then go back to work. It would just be impossible for me. Well, I'm rambling. So that's it for that's the podcast for this week. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids, because there's lots of evil people out there looking for them. Trust me. Have a good week.